Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, this one is over, and now it's time for the longest-running mashup. It's Show Meets Show. The Wendy's Big Show meets the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's the Big Show's Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Bill Baby Tausch Schmid, and the franchise, Tim Allen.
Tim Allen's here. What do you got, Tim? Come on, ask me a lineup question.
A little close, but it was a victory. Yeah, one zip, Brewers get it done. It's a final in Cincinnati. The game and the series. Fastball, Freddy Peralta gets it done today, and some nail-biting going on in the ninth inning with one Alex Wilson in the ballgame. We'll talk about that. Welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Here on The Fan, we are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen with the Wendy's Big Show boys. Gary, Sparky, Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid. And raise your hand if you wanted to correct Craig Counsell on his choice of relievers in the ninth inning to close out a one-zip game.
I didn't want a reliever in there at all. I wanted Peralta to start the inning, have whoever the reliever was, didn't really care outside of Barnes, to be up in the bullpen and ready to go. And then if Peralta gets somebody on, fine. Then he gets a no decision, worst case, doesn't get the loss. Let the reliever come in and do their job. I did not like starting the inning with relief.
100 pitches for fastball Freddy. 100 pitches. His day was done. He exhausted a lot of energy in the final out to Puig in the eighth inning. And that, to me, put an end to his day. 100 pitches and the battle he had against Puig.
I thought you were going to say, raise your hand if you were nervous that Yasiel Puig was going to knock one over the right field wall.
That too.
He was licking his back, fired up.
I think you don't like him? I really like him.
That's not it.
I was more just concerned.
He's 100 pitches for the kid.
So what?
It's game seven
How
on the season.
How old is he? 20-something?
22?
He's not 38.
No.
I mean, he would have been, like I said, if it was me, I would have put him back out there. If he gives up a home run and it's tied, so be it. But let him give him the opportunity to get that complete game. Because we all know with this team, you don't get many opportunities.
As a young player, just in general, man, you do have to operate just a little bit differently. Do you not, Gary Ellerson, as a younger player in pro sports?
Yeah, you do. You know, and I don't have any problem with what Craig did. I just want to hear you two guys go back and forth. Because Steve right away was hot. Well, not really hot.
He came in here.
He was hot.
I didn't think I seen you hotter.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. He wasn't over the top. But, I mean, we were talking about this yesterday about Craig Counsell, how he is just – and it's not necessarily, we talked about in a game of baseball, you can almost nitpick every move if you wanted to.
Good.
And but in Craig Counsell, do we trust? In David Stearns, do we trust? I mean, this is the same what we saw last year where we try to nitpick the lineup, we try to do this. And Craig is, this team and Craig Counsell and David Stearns to a degree have just picked up where they left off last year.
Proved a lot of people wrong and continue to do so.
It's amazing.
I'm gonna stand corrected.
If I were Steve, I would have just came in and sat down and shut up.
I had no.
Listen, the guy has been unreal. Craig has.
There's not many teams that can continue to play the underdog role when they were a game away from the title game last year, and somehow they unreal. Seemingly every single year. And you know, we talked to Jimmy Nelson, Gary, when we were down in spring training, and Tim, we had the same similar conversation with him last year, where he said, "Man, everybody just wants to come in here and doubt our pitching staff, say we don't have the names, say we don't have the arms, and all we do is come out here and prove people wrong." They started out with a bunch of different question marks coming into the year. Here they are, 6-1, and they're the most dangerous team in baseball.
I had a bigger issue, so I stand corrected. Correction of the game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction. I had a bigger issue, rather than taking Freddy Peralta out, I had no problem with that. Bigger issue with Alex Wilson going in to be the closer in
That's
a one-run
game. That's your boy.
No,
what are you talking about?
No, he's my boy in the right role. not as the closer. That should have been Matt Albers out there.
Okay. I would have been fine with that, too.
What? Yeah. That should have been the veteran out there, Matt Albers. Yes.
Has Alex Wilson given up a run yet?
Not yet. No, and he's pitched great. He has, and he got into some trouble. He had a four-pitch walk to lead off the inning, gave up the base hit, and he's 90 feet away from this game still going out.
Well, here's what proved to you today, Timmy. No Keuchel and no Kimbrel. It's because of what you saw today.
6-1.
5-0 in one-run games. Jeff Passan just tweeted out, the Brewers now 6-1. They are 5-0 in one-run games, and their other win is by 2 runs. And on a day when Josh Hader wasn't available, Alex Wilson comes in to lock down the save. Jeremy Jeffers should be back by the end of the month, too. Quite the dangerous team.
They're trying to pass
Jeff Passan.
And they're sitting back and go, Kimmer, you want 18 per? I'm going to throw this guy out here. Watch him do this.
And they're hitting the side laugh. Like, they're not even looking at you straight on. They're just kind of smirking at you. Like, come on, man. Really? You really think we're going to throw that at you? No chance.
You should want to come to us.
Right.
You should want to be part of this.
And that's what I was thinking yesterday. This guy, why wouldn't he want to lower his price and be a part of this?
This party that's going on.
Yeah. I was thinking that yesterday. Didn't say it. But, Tim, you're right. That's really the bottom line, dude. You got an opportunity. You still can make the money, but you got an opportunity to be on the World Series team, man. You can make this go.
There may not be a more fun team in all of Major League Baseball than this one. It really looks like they're having a blast. That's true.
They are. No, they are. But everybody says that. But these guys, yes, they are.
799-1250 as the Brewers get a one-zip victory. And really, we'll start out the show. I want to get to a mixture of Bucks and Packers in here today, too, a little bit later on. But
what do you mean?
I know. I think we're super, super lucky. I don't know if lucky is the word. We're in great shape in the world of sports in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, that we are.
We really are.
We have no idea how fortunate we really are.
Predominantly with Yelly, Giannis, and Rodgers.
Unbelievable.
Who can do that? What state or market can do that? And we'll talk about that.
You got potentially 3 MVPs. And Giannis has got to get it.
He does.
And right, the smallest media area for all pro sports?
What? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. But first of all, do you guys feel better about the young guys in the rotation now? Because that was the naysayers were out there throughout the offseason. Billy, you alluded to it earlier, that they doubt the pitching staff. Okay, they're really going to doubt the pitching staff coming into the 2019 championship season, right? Because you had Burns, Peralta, and Brandon Woodruff inserted right into the rotation. Here you go, guys. Go for it. There's 3 young dudes having never done it before, having an organization that came within a game away from the World Series last year, and then they unveil 3 young dudes that have never done this before. And so far, one plus times through the rotation, you have Freddy Peralta picking up a pretty bad outing his first time out. Mm-hmm. 3 innings, he threw 80 pitches, gave up 3 or 4 runs. And then Burns and Woodruff.
But we've seen Peralta do that last year, too, though. That's Freddy Peralta.
A little inconsistent, and he's got to level things off a little bit.
But this is what these guys see. Then you come back today, and this is what you see today. And they're thinking, your word consistency, they think it could smooth out. And if it does with him, along with Burns, because I think who was the third one? Burns,
Woodruff,
and Peralta.
Those 3 guys.
And the other 2, Woodruff, he threw 5 innings, just a couple of runs. Burns, 5 innings, gave up 3 homers and 4 runs, but struck out 12 in the performance. So far, so good. Through 4 starts for those 3 young dudes, including Freddy Peralta's masterpiece today. And I mean, he was amazing.
I think the coolest part about it is we saw all of these guys have their moment in the postseason or in the run last year. Like Corbin Burns comes up his first appearance in the big leagues, his major league debut. He's called upon for a 4 or a 6-out save down in Miami last year in a point where the crew was struggling, man. They had lost like 9 of 10 in that series right before the All-Star break last year. Through the postseason, Corbin Burns closes out game 6. Freddy Peralta saved you in one of those games out in L.A. where he comes out and gives you 3 innings in that marathon game. Him and Junior Guerra really kept you in that ball game. And Brandon Woodruff obviously has game 1 against Clayton Kershaw where he goes 3 innings, hits a homer, and they were the storyline of a different game in that postseason. It shows the difference in how they're running their pitching staff and how they're developing their prospects. They're developing these major league players at the big leagues going up against major league talent day in and day out.
They might be ahead of the game just a little bit. And here's why you have the inside scoop.
Well, the Cardinals have been, too.
You talk about a source you have. The source is you Brewers fans. The source is this show right here, Wendy's Big Show. You guys talk about it all the time. It's not just three young dudes that were handed the ball to be in a rotation of a team that's vying for the World Series. It's three young dudes that proved themselves in a pennant race and in the postseason. That's a huge difference. People point to Pittsburgh's rotation, Jameson Taillon and Chris Archer and these guys. Well, have they done it in the postseason and in a pennant race? No. St. Louis Cardinals, they got a nice young staff as well. Flaherty and Miles Michaelis and even Alex Reyes, I think, is going to take someone's job over there.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is that the Cubs have a veteran-laden rotation. They've done it down the stretch. A couple of them certainly have done it in the playoffs, but these guys already have been in the playoffs, in the postseason. I don't think that stage gets any bigger. So far, so good with these three young dudes in the rotation.
Well, let me take it back to you. I think you guys interviewed, was it Grandal, I believe, in the clubhouse?
Mm-hmm. Over the weekend.
Over the weekend. And something caught, he goes, you know what? It feels like a playoff atmosphere every game.
Already.
Right? I can't believe he said that.
And that's a dude.
It's just so juicy. There's just so much juicy.
That's
man.
A dude that's played for the World Series
right.
each of the last 3 years.
Yes.
In the biggest market in the National League.
Right.
He wasn't the only one.
It's like it's a playoff.
Yeah, but I mean, the Dodgers fans aren't exactly Brewer fans. Let's be honest. I mean, they show up 3 innings after the game starts.
Sure.
They leave in the seventh. They're there for 4 innings, and they're out of there.
Yeah.
Especially in the regular season. Brewer fans in the regular season, I would have to imagine, without having asked Grandal, I'm guessing he will surmise by the end of the year, are way more into games than those Dodger fans.
Well, and he also hasn't pulled up to the parking lot 3 hours before the game and seen people grilling for the last hour and a half and drinking
yeah,
beer.
Yeah, he's never seen that before, you're right.
How big of a difference was that for you, Gary, when you pulled up the first time to Lambeau and saw people grilling at 6 in the morning?
Well, it wasn't, because I went to school at Madison.
Well, that's true.
Oh, so you knew.
That's true.
You knew there was a party going on.
Well,
that's
I mean, and it doesn't start when you pull up. It's the night before, because
you guys are leaving the team meeting.
Hey, listen, don't let the Badgers have a night game, a Saturday night game, because it starts Wednesday after your last class. And what you see at a Saturday night Badger game is just students underneath the stands passed out, just bodies laying everywhere.
and some additional drunken disorderly conduct tickets throughout that night.
And then you do one of those little, just so happen you can get to a Packer game that same, like the next day, and you be like, man, do these guys drink water around here anywhere?
No, they have beer with their cereal, actually.
Thank you!
All right, every year you go into a Brewers season and you're saying, I know I say a number of things, but I know I shoot for, can we just get off to a good start? Can you just make sure you don't get behind the eight ball right away?
Simple. Don't let Grandal catch him. Simple. Baby Tausch and I both
Peralta.
Baby Tausch and I both said going into the first game that Pena needs to be a personal catcher for somebody to get him his at-bats every week. And Baby Tausch said it, and he said, it'd be Freddy Peralta for me. Because if you're going to walk guys, have somebody that's better at blocking balls, throwing guys out, let Manny Pena be that guy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, makes sense. I'm with you. So Grandal starts game two. I'm assuming it was because it was game two. If he's going to be his personal catcher, and Council wouldn't agree to that over the weekend, but if he's going to be his personal catcher, I think Peralta's in a better shape. If they go back to Grandal and Peralta gets lit up again the next game, then that's the end of Grandal and him together. For me, it's then Manny Pena going forward.
I think it should be after today.
I agree with you, but right. I highly doubt he'll actually do it.
They're going to try it again.
They're going to go Grandal to
if
Peralta?
If I'm Peralta, I go ask for it.
Well, no, but Grandal's going to catch Peralta again.
Oh, that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. I thought you meant they're going to go Manny again.
No. You're going to see that again. And you know why.
Because of the price tag?
No. It's 182 games. Cause
mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's baseball. They believe it or not, they're still working on stuff.
Well,
this
okay.
early.
I mean, in this game, yeah, you're right. No, I agree with you.
Not.
In this game here, it was Freddy Peralta working on that curveball.
Yes.
And it was working today.
Right.
Finally, it was working today.
Because he trusted it, Tim.
That's how dangerous he is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got 15, 1,000 different fastballs, various speeds. It comes out of his hand a little bit different each time. You get him to throw the curveball with some confidence, then you're going to see more things like this. 8 innings of shutout baseball on just 2 hits, 11 strikeouts for fastball Freddie Peralta, and the Brewers win 1-0. We have one highlight for you in our game recap.
You do?
I was going to say, we want to fire that bad boy out here or what?
That's got the one. Highlight? Just the one. It was a 1-0 game, second inning. Zeus had drawn a walk in the inning, and he's balked over to second base. Turns out, huge, huge mistake by the Cincinnati Reds, and it was Manny Pena that made him pay.
Issued a 4-pitch walk to Aguilar. And now Pena up the middle. That's going to sneak through a base hit. Aguilar winding it up. He is headed home. Throw comes home. Aguilar is in. Pena to second base. The Brewers strike first. A 2-out hit by Manny Pena. And it's 1-0 as Jesus Aguilar
there it
does
is.
It with the legs.
Said, Fox Sports Wisconsin, there's your highlight and game recap. It's a 1-0 game. Freddie Peralta, 8 innings, 11 Ks.
Well, we could do one. We could do one more. We could do the 11th K.
Let's do that.
As he finishes the dude that's licking his bat.
Yep.
Just 2 hits. Peralta's held the Reds to just 2 hits. 2-2 the count with 2 away. It comes and a swing and a miss. He struck him out. He went with the breaking ball.
Wow.
Pena blocked it like a champ. And Freddie Peralta, 11 strikeouts, 8 shutout innings.
Wow, that is big time for Freddie Peralta, as you just heard there on Fox Sports Wisconsin. Part of the Brewers' 1-0 victory. They sweep the series in Cincinnati. The 2019 championship season rolls on. They've now won 5 consecutive games. They're 6-1 on the season. And maybe more importantly, the future, at least the short-term future here between Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta, looking a lot better than people thought coming into the season. We'll take your calls, 799-1250. We'll also talk about the great state of Wisconsin sports that's happening right now, and the Brewers are involved with that. Baby Shaden Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals as we meet the Wendy's Big Show after a Brewers 1-0 victory.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
Yeah, it's a final in Cincinnati. The Brewers win the ballgame 1-0, and they sweep the Cincinnati Reds the 2019 championship season. It gets off to a, what kind of start? Great? Is that okay to say?
Sizzling.
It's 6-1.
That sounds like a nice little skillet or something that I could eat in the morning.
Talking about the younger pitchers in this rotation, and namely is Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta. Peralta outstanding. Who's hot? Yeah, Freddie today, stinging. Man, sizzling. You're right. Hot. 8 innings, shutout ball on just 2 hits. No walks. That's the key right there. And he did strike out 11 in the performances. Make you feel a little bit better about these guys. Craig Counsell made mention just recently that they may have to take a look at their innings down the line here. So be prepared for a spot start here and there from a Chase Anderson, possibly a Zach Brown. But just these 3 guys that were inserted into the rotation for the 2019 season, do you feel a little bit better about it? Yeah, who's hot, who's not? It certainly is Freddie Peralta, and it is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Let's go to Brian. Brian, you're on the Fan. You feel a little bit better about these 3 young dudes in the rotation?
Yeah, I want to first start with saying I met Freddie Peralta's parents today at the game.
Nice. You're down there in Cincinnati, Brian.
Yeah.
How were they? How were they?
They were good. I went to the last 2 games out here.
Oh, sweet.
Nice.
You go by yourself, yeah. Brian, or who'd you go with?
I went by myself.
Nice. You drive out there or you fly?
Yeah. I drove.
Okay.
Okay, well, be careful, Brian, yeah. All right? Do you feel better about these guys?
Yeah, I think if we can get Craig Kimbrel, I think this division is over with. I think we win it easily over the Cubs.
Brian's calling it. All right, Brian, be careful on your way home, all right?
Yeah, wear your seatbelt, kid, all right?
Who needs Dallas Keuchel, right? Who needs Dallas Keuchel when you have Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta?
Yeah, and who needs Craig Kimbrel when you got Alex Wilson?
Hey,
I don't know what
second.
Everybody was freaking out about Alex Wilson for.
Two on, two out,
that
game
was your,
on the line.
That's your boy. You were all fired up. Oh, we got to talk to Alex Wilson. We're going into the locker room this weekend. We got to talk to Alex Wilson.
Alex Wilson.
Where is that Alex Wilson? I like him. I want to go talk to him. I can't wait to tell him you were losing your shorts while he comes in here in a one-run game. All he's done is get guys out. The bullpen in itself, outside of Guerra's solo shot last night, and they give up a few to Goldschmidt in that second game of that St. Louis Cardinals series. Guys, the bullpen has set up Josh Hader, and he's the story because he's the most electrifying dude in baseball right now, is Josh Hader. But the story has been how they've set up Hader in these first couple of games, and that bullpen was able to rest today, obviously, with Freddie for 8 innings. But 5 innings out of Woodruff, 5 innings out of Burns, 3 1/3, three and two-thirds the other day from Freddie in his first start. And yep. The bullpen has really helped them and kept them in most of these games.
Yeah, indeed. 799-1250. How would you rank these guys now? Does this change your ranking between Burns and Woodruff and Peralta with this performance here? Does Peralta now go to the top of the three?
Well, he's in the top of the three in the rotation. I mean, he's two in the rotation.
Yeah.
Burns is four. I still think Burns is the best pitcher of those three.
I agree.
And then I think Peralta probably is a little bit more talented maybe than Woodruff.
What?
Oh, boy, here we go.
But that's what I would say.
That's your boy over
Woodruff
there.
Is more polished, obviously. But mm-hmm. I think Peralta is probably the more talented of the two pitchers when it's all said and done.
799-1250, Brewers get the 1-0 victory, and we're talking Brewers baseball. Wendy's Big Show meets the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey.
There's something about Brandon Woodruff that I think is just he's just got the factor that every single time you look for a young dude that you want. Dan Plesac called it the other day when he was on the Big Show. He said he's got that slow heartbeat where he can calm himself down in the biggest moments and just play his game. There's a factor in that I believe makes Woodruff the number one out of these three guys.
Plesac, that interview he did with us was a great. I mean, of course he's good all the time, but that he kind of lets you inside on some mm-hmm. inside information that, you know, a lot of us really weren't privy
that was,
to.
That was 2 days ago. 105.7FMTheFan.com, fan on demand. It's up there right now.
So who do you think, Timmy?
I'm going Burns at the top, Woodruff in the middle, and Peralta's third.
Baby Tosh?
That's where I tend to fall in line, too. I've had the most concern about Freddie coming into the season.
Stevie?
It's the primarily control. Because of his control.
No, yeah. I'm just, from a talent standpoint, three. I think Freddie Peralta is two, and Woodruff is three. We're going based strictly on talent. I think Burns is the most talented, then Freddie Peralta, and then Brandon Woodruff. Based on who's the most polished right now, Woodruff is that guy right now, based on who's the most polished currently.
I would agree with you guys. I think Burns has the most potential out of all of them.
And you got to see some of that this weekend.
Yeah, but, I mean, it just feels like Peralta also can be up and down, but once he – and maybe they get the catcher thing straightened out, and that's who he can be and that's who he will be. Because if that's it, God, that's tough for Burns to get in front of.
Right.
What you saw today.
Yep.
It's just –
That's tough for Burns to get in front of if he does that.
And the thing is,
want that to happen now because that means this joker through. That means Burns has got to go through a no hitter.
Because we've seen Freddie go
right?
like this and just
wait.
Take
where
it
you gonna go
sheet.
From there
yep. to top this?
Yeah. Where you gonna go from there if you're Burnsy?
Now Freddie was last year. He was like the guy that when Freddie was on the mound, it felt like everybody's play picked up. Where you saw him getting dressed, and you kind of joke about this with a young guy, right? Like, you know you got to pick him up. At some point, you're going to have to go get him. Sometime, you're going to have to give him some help. But if this is the Freddie that you're going to get, I'm not saying he's going to go 8 shutout every single time out. But, like, when this is his high end, Gary, like you're saying, everybody on the team is going to be elevating when that guy has the ball.
Yeah.
It is a situation where if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, and again, this is just real early indicators of what potentially could happen with this Brewers rotation. If you're the St. Louis Cardinals, Pittsburgh Pirates, Chicago Cubs, Cincinnati Reds, all the teams in the division, you take a look at the age of these guys and what kind of maturation process they're going to go through here in the next few years. They're going to face these dudes how many times a year? Unlike
19.
Unlike the other teams, Cole Hamels down in Chicago, John Lester down in Chicago, mm-hmm. These guys aren't lasting nearly as long as these three young bucks in Milwaukee are going to last.
Well, and it's fitting enough that you're going to see Quintana in game one against the Cubs. They've faced him 8 times since he was acquired by the Cubs. No doubt Madden knew that when he was lining
Without
this thing up.
Question.
That he wanted Quintana in that first game.
I hate those guys. I hate it. Friday night is such a huge game.
What kind of precedent can you set as these three young dudes that these are going to be their first start? I don't know. I could be wrong here. Freddie might have started against the Cubs last year. But if you're looking at Woodruff and Burns making their first starts against that team, mm-hmm. what kind of precedent do you think that they can set coming up here in this first weekend against them?
Yeah, this weekend looks like it's Burns, Woodruff, and Davies against the Cubs.
Yep, Woodruff, Burns, Davies. It'll go Woodruff, Quintana, then Burns against Hamels, and Davies against Hendricks on Sunday. That game might end in an hour and 36 minutes.
it could on Sunday. 799-1250, the young pitchers in this rotation making you feel a little bit better. It certainly did today as Freddy Peralta throws 8 mm-hmm. shutout innings, 11 strikeouts in the performance. No walks, and I think that is prevalent here in the conversation. The no walks part, we're frustrated with Freddy Peralta's the start of his starts, right?
Right.
I mean, that's if he can
get out of the gates.
It's just been a nightmare. Occasionally, probably half his starts, he settles in quite nicely, but then all of a sudden you look up. And after giving up 2 or 3 in the first, he settles in. It's the 5th inning. He's got 90 pitches. You got to yank him out. Or 4th inning, even.
You want to join the conversation, 414-799-1250. Jesse's in Jackson. He's next on the fan. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, I know this is a lot to ask, but we should probably do a round of applause if you have it, especially for David Stern. If you can make that sound what happened, that'd right. be great.
Why is that?
Guy's fantastic at evaluating talent. I mean, listen, he was smart for giving these young guys a playoff atmosphere last year and put them in games that were meaningful. And now, I mean, I was excited last year, you know, and when I bought my tickets this year, I was really excited. But to see how they're pitching, and they're only hopefully going to get better as they grow as young pitchers, man, you can't be any more excited. I mean, and you know what, ESPN, you guys don't know what you're talking about. The Brewers, I think they're, again, people are not respecting them and they're not understanding how talented they are. I wouldn't want to face that lineup. And if the pitchers can pitch the way they're pitching now, I don't know. The other day you guys said you maybe saw them winning 91, 92 games.
I said 89.
I think they're going to actually win probably 96, 97 games.
Oh, boy. That's one hell of a team. All right, Jesse.
Appreciate it, man.
The call. They didn't throw these young guys in last year.
That'd be a franchise record, by the way, if they go to 97.
97 would be. They didn't throw those young guys into the mix last year, late in the season and into the postseason, to get experience. That's not why they did that.
Just imagine.
They did it to win baseball games and to win a World Series is why they did it, and they came through. That's the thing.
Imagine. You could have Peralta rolling, could have Burns rolling, and then they're going to run out of their innings limit. And then what are you going to do? Tell the fan base, oh, sorry, we have Chase now.
Where does this guy come from?
That's your right. boy.
No, because I can't get out of my head what Council
That's
said.
That's your boy.
Council just said it, that they can't all pitch all year long. They're going to go past their innings limit. So they're going to have to figure out how not to start these guys through stretches of the season and get away with it.
Well, Jimmy Nelson is going to start games.
Chase Anderson, I think, is going to start games. I think Zach Brown is going to start games.
See,
I think he's ready to start games.
I don't know if he starts. I think he comes in the similar situation like Burns did, where
it's maybe ease him into the bullpen.
Ease him into the bullpen, and he can be a swing dude when you get late into the year where teams just don't have film on him.
Early indicators, though, Billy, say that there may not be as much room in that bullpen as we anticipated coming into the season.
You're right about that. They're playing so much. They're living up to a billing that nobody wanted to give them coming into the year.
Not at all.
Of the bullpen. Everybody wanted. I feel like the bullpen, people wanted the bullpen kind of to suck just so that they could feel vindicated in, like, asking for more and not feeling like they're asking for something that's out of the realm of possibility don't need.
To get Kimbrel. That's right. See, we told you.
We told you we needed him. We told you Alex we needed Wilson, him. We didn't have enough. This guy sucks. We need somebody else. We need somebody new.
Wilson gave up a 3-run home run today. See, I told you. Kimbrel.
It's like when you have an old car and you want to get a new one. You consistently are finding things that are wrong with your car to warrant going and getting a new one. Instead, you can just enjoy what you got. Just live it up. Watch the bullpen. They're all right.
You got to feel good about the first time and a half, just about time and a half through the rotation here in the 2019 championship season for sure. You do. Mm-hmm. Burns, he goes 5 innings. Got victimized by the home run ball in his matchup against St. Louis. Did end up going 5 innings, gave up the 4 runs. Again, it wasn't 14, it was 4. He did allow 6 hits. That was his first start against the St. Louis Cardinals. Brandon Woodruff, a little bit better. He did 5 innings of work and allowed just the 2 runs. Freddy Peralta, not very good in Game 2 this year against the Cardinals. He didn't even get an out in the 4th inning through 3 innings, got beat around pretty good, and just was wild as wild could be. There was walks and hit batters and just could not control the curveball for sure, let alone the fastball. Couldn't even spot the fastball that day.
He did start to locate the curveball later on in the game when he felt comfortable throwing it.
And got a couple of strikeouts in that performance prior to leaving, but got right back into trouble in the 4th inning, and they had to yank him. Now he hauls off and throws this beauty today. Of 8 shutout innings on just 2 hits, no walks, and 11 strikeouts. So you're about, you're getting a taste of these younger pitchers. Yeah, a few tasters for these guys. And overall, I'd give them a passing grade for sure.
Let's go to KJ in West Dallas. KJ, you're next on the Post Game Meets the Big Show.
Aloha, my brother. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, if you need a new car or a used car, all you have to do their baby couches go to Hyundai West Dallas, like I did.
Well, right, your boy Dan Richards.
Yeah, my good friend.
Yeah, that's what buddy. I did. I went and bought me a Elantra over there just because I heard you guys talk about it.
So, KJ, did you try the Sonata or did you just go to the Elantra? Because there's a little more room in the Sonata. That's why I got that one.
Yeah, well, I'm not as big as you. I'm almost as big as you. Okay. But that's why I got the Elantra.
So you're saying you're not 3 bills, KJ?
No, I'm not 3 bills, man.
What are you pushing, like 250 or what?
I'm pissed. Oh, yeah, about 2.5.
Okay. That's respectable. Like that. All right. I see you. You fit in an Elantra. What's going on, KJ? Yeah.
Hey, who needs Kimbrel when you got Timmy Allen, man? I mean, you got the Mount Rushmore of Sports Talk Wisconsin Radio here assembled today.
Oh, yes,
so that's
we do.
Awesome,
yeah, post game show. Yes, we do.
Yeah. So, listen, with the Brewers, I think it's real important that for the confidence of this team, especially the young pitching staff that they have right now, for them to see that they can win 1-0 games. Mm-hmm. And you got a very formidable lineup, but they're not really hitting right now. And once they really start, getting in the heat of battle, I think, they'll be on all cylinders and they're going to score a lot more runs. So, it's going to kind of calm down that bullpen and not have to stress it out as much as you might have to do right now.
Yeah, they just had 2 hits today. 2 hits. Yeah. Lorenzo Cain off the bench had a hit, and then Manny Pena with the RBI.
Yeah, man. I mean, you got to have some more hitting. I mean, right now they're kind of struggling right now at the plate.
Little bit. They scored 9 runs in the series, obviously averaging 3 runs a game in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But it was, you know what? The conditions had a little to do with that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. It was cold out there. But, I mean, going forward, I think they're going to put it all together. And who's not hot? I don't know what they're going to do with Eric Thames, guys. I mean, I don't know if they're going to hang on to him and just, kind of see what happens.
Who knows? I still have hopes. It's so early, KJ. Thanks, dude. Yeah. It's so early. It's 7 games in, man. I do think there's a hot streak in Eric Thames.
Yeah. Well, there always is.
At the very bare minimum.
There always is, right? But there always is.
But if there was a hot streak, you got to try to get him triggered in Cincinnati. That's his spot.
Well, that's his team.
That's his place.
It is. Yep.
Like, he can't even get in the lineup here.
Well, no, you can't, because look at what you got.
Yeah, right.
Where's he going to go?
How are you going to crack that lineup?
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, Steve, you want him in there?
No.
See, maybe if he talked to me or something.
Ben Gamble.
Some of that good luck, like Ben Gamble did, starts up a rally on Sunday and ends up, you know, winning.
He got the start
winning
today.
Had a nice catch today.
And did play some nice defense, but had three plate appearances, three strikeouts today. Although Castillo for Cincinnati, that's a tough customer, man. He
might
is
be the best
good.
Reds pitcher that I can ever remember.
You don't like Homer Bailey?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. All right.
Hey. Homer Bailey would not crack that cut for him.
Here's some stuff from Freddie Peralta, from Adam McKelvey and Tom Hardicourt. Peralta's big strikeout on Puig in the eighth, he wanted another fastball away. Manny Pena wanted a fastball up. So they can promise on a curveball in the dirt, which Puig waved at to strike out.
I wanted the curveball a few pitches before that because Puig was fouling off pitch after pitch, and they were all fastballs. And it's like, come on, man, just throw the curve. Curveball landed, 5 feet before the play?
It had to have. I mean, I thought it was going to double bounce, like, on home plate. And Puig just like, whatever. What are you going to do? And the 46 fans at Great American Ballpark tonight were not happy about
it. No, a little bit better today. They had 7,000 the other night, 10,000 last night, and I think 13 maybe?
No chance. No chance. There's no chance there were 13,000 people there.
799-1250, Brewers get the win 1-0. They're 6-1 on the season. Got to be feeling really good about that as the 2019 championship season gets going. You can't hardly do any better, right? I mean, I'm always hoping at the beginning of each year, can you do something special, man? Come out of the chute. I'm not saying like team streak in 87 where it's, you know, 12, 13 wins in a row to start the season. Maybe a little bit bigger sample size of 20 and
seven. What was the run in the 2011 season? Was that where they started out real hot, or 2007 where they won 24 and 10.
Right, Stevie? Wasn't it?
I think that's right.
24 and 10. Yep. You want something special like that, man?
Well, if you want that, then Ned Yost should be your manager. His teams always started out fast. And then by July, they were all done. They were ready to cash it in, call it a night.
799-1250, you got to be feeling a little bit better about them now, especially the younger pitchers, Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, after today's performance. If you happen to be at work and you're cooped up, you couldn't watch the game, lightning quick, Manfred's going to love this game. What was this, less than 2.5 hours in this one?
Yeah, oh, had to have fast. Been. Yeah, it was. Well, it's post-game meets the big show day. So what it is it'll fly through these games, and then when you and I are hanging out on a Friday or a Saturday night, they go about 4 hours and 15 minutes. You want to grab Tom in here before we hear from Anthony Sports Flash?
Let's do it.
Tom's in Greenfield. He's next on post-game meets the big show. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, you guys got a nice sample size there with the mono wins and stuff like that. Now
that's true. Post-game meets the big show is 2-0 now.
Can we get J.J. back, and can we get Jimmy Nelson to play, or is he just a lost cause? If we don't, Josh Hader is going to be burned on up by half the season's gone.
All right, thank you, Tom. You had a number of things in there, and I think all really interesting points. Number one, the Jimmy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finally somewhat concerned about it.
What are you concerned about?
I was more positive last year at this time.
Why?
You were thinking June.
Because of the extended spring training?
He called June 1st last year.
I did. I said.
Where everybody was like, it's going to be middle of the summer. He's like, nope.
It may not be
They're
June.
They're snowballing us.
It may not be
June 1st.
June 1st of this year. I'm a little concerned the extended spring training. I'm not liking it.
No?
No, I'm not liking that at all.
I didn't like the cortisone shot in the elbow. Wasn't a big fan of that. They say, no big deal. He'll be fine after this cortisone shot. But, Gary, how many times do you get a cortisone shot and then that thing doesn't come back again?
I've never had a cortisone shot. Well, I did, because then that was knee replacement. After that.
Exactly.
That's my point.
That was it. Left.
My dad had cortisone shots in his back and eventually had back surgery.
Yeah, that's what it leads to.
Right.
The cortisone just...
So you get the cortisone shot in Jimmy Nelson's elbow, that's an issue.
Well, it is an issue. So that buys you maybe 2 years. Because we don't know how close he is.
Well,
now, so like for example, my knee, I did cortisones for 5 years. So you don't know how close he is.
Well, the day we left,
cortisones are not.
And then all of a sudden, that problem just goes away and never comes back.
No, no, it's coming back.
It's just whatever it is. It's just a relief.
It's
all
a relief, and then you hope that it the inflammation goes down, the soreness goes down, and then you go back up there and you try it again. And if it keeps coming back, that's it.
Guys, we were in the park when Jimmy Nelson got back into a Major League Baseball game. Granted, a Cactus League game, but still a big league game, right? You remember that? We're all fired up.
Oh, yeah, juice, man.
The team was fired up. The team stuck
around. Gary and I broke the law and went and talked to him before the game.
That's right. So the day we left Arizona was the day that he went out there and threw, what did he throw, 50 pitches? Three innings?
Mm-hmm.
Had velocity? Everything looking good, right? Would have been on track, and at that time, their plan for Jimmy Nelson was to start the season in the minors, get some every five-day appearances on the mound, get some regiment, get some build-up, and then come back to the big leagues.
That's still the plan.
Because now there's a setback.
Well, no. See, I think everybody got this all screwed up. This is what I don't understand. So if you read the original quote that came from Morosi and those guys was, he wasn't going to pitch the first week of the minor league season, but he was going to pitch the second week, right? So that would have been, because they haven't started yet, I don't believe.
No, Friday night season, they start.
So that means he wouldn't have pitched next week. It'd be the week after that. So now, I don't know how it was phrased to him, counsel. So then he backtracked and said, oh, no, he's not starting the season in the minors. He's starting spending... start in extended spring, which is pretty much the exact same thing that he said on MLB Network, that he'd be in the minors the second week of the season. So you're still talking 2 weeks from now. Now, if in 2 weeks or by, if by the NFL draft on the 25th, 26th, around there, if he's still in extended spring, okay, then we've clearly had a setback of some sort. But based on what he said originally, and then they say he backtracked, I don't think he did. If in 2 weeks he's not in the minors starting, then I would say be concerned. I'm not worried about
it. I'm concerned that he didn't pitch again 5 days later after that outing in Arizona.
Had the cortisone shot in the elbow.
Again, I thought we were beyond that. But again,
the shoulder was the issue. The elbow is a whole new issue.
Yeah, that's a totally different animal.
And then the argument is, well, was he overcompensating with the elbow because of the shoulder and all that other stuff? And now, you know, hurt his elbow. And you don't want a hurt elbow as a pitcher.
Talking some Brewers baseball.
Just ask 46.
Today.
Correct.
Yeah, indeed. Brewers baseball today because they win 1-0. Either way, we'd be talking about them. A 6-1 start to the 2019 championship season. Wendy's Big Show meets the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey right here in the Hyundai of West Dallas post-game studios. Brewers win again 1-0. Peralta, a gem. We'll be back on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back. Brewers get a 1-0 victory. Wendy's Big Show. Gary Sparky, Baby Tauce Bill Schmid meets the postgame show here today. Baby Shade and Blind.
One of our callers was on to something, guys. So we're 2-0 on postgame meets the big shows.
I think that's what he was referring to.
I think once the Brewers lose on a postgame meets the big show, we just call it quits and Tim comes in here and just runs it off the
sheet. I thought you were
going
to suggest we just do all the postgame shows with Tim.
Well, that would make sense. You know, why don't we just do that?
Okay.
Just a four-person postgame show every night.
Monday night there in California. I'll see you then. About midnight, we'll get on the air.
Oh.
I've done those
before.
That'd
be fun. I've done those
and then went and done the morning show and stayed up all night with Rami.
Drive of the game, you have to pick the one that knocked in the run, don't you, in a 1-0 game? It was two hits for the crew. It was Manny Pena in the second.
Issued a four-pitch walk to Aguilar. And now Pena up the middle. That's going to sneak through a base hit. Aguilar winding it up. He is headed home. Throw comes home. Aguilar is in. Pena to second base. The Brewers strike first. A two-out hit by Manny Pena. And it's 1-0 as Jesus Aguilar does it with the legs.
He said, yep.
Yeah, there it is on Fox Sports Wisconsin.
How great is it to watch the Brewers play the Cincinnati Reds and not have to worry about that nuisance in center field, Billy Hamilton?
It's excellent.
Either gunning Jesus Aguilar at the plate right there, getting every leadoff base hit you could possibly have.
And hitting mostly all of his home runs against the
Brewers. Hitting 5/6 of his career home runs against the Brewers.
Yes. It used to be Brandon Phillips, and then it turned into Billy Hamilton.
See, but I liked Brandon Phillips, though. Brandon Phillips always was just like that dude that I always enjoyed watching.
Hated
on the other team
Brandon Phillips with a passion. He killed the Brewers. Matty Ice tweets at the fan. You think there's a chance they call up Keston Hiro, I should say, to DH in Anaheim next week?
No. I think you're going to see a lot of Thames, right? Thames, Ben Gamble type.
Ugh.
HP will get a start. Give somebody a rest. Yeah, that's what you're going to
see. I would rather go with HP.
Yeah, get him going.
I'd rather go with Keston Hiro or Corey Ray.
So,
I mean,
guys,
you have to pay money, though. Is this before service time?
I know.
Guys, Christian Yelich, I think we can all agree, is something special, right?
Yes.
Very good.
Yes. Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it.
I think we already know that Aaron Rodgers is somebody special, right? Right.
Hall of Famer.
And we certainly are now in the know of one Giannis, right?
Yeah, Hall of Famer. Color Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Very special.
Yep.
These guys, would you say they're elite?
Yes.
I agree. All in one market. Well, market, let's call it the state. Milwaukee, Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Let's call it the state of Wisconsin. Do we really? I mean, I had to take a little step back the other night on my way into work to really realize what we're witnessing here with those three dudes. All at the same time. We used to think we were lucky because it was proximity to Michael Jordan, 90 miles to the south, right?
And you had Brett Favre.
And Favre at that same time. And you and I discussed that years ago as well.
Yep.
Pretty privileged and lucky to watch those two guys on a regular basis. And all of a sudden, we get them here in the state of Wisconsin. What other state, what other market of the big three, basketball, football, and baseball, can boast what we've got in Wisconsin right here? And I didn't spend a ton of time going through every market, Billy. I didn't. And certainly, you know, make no mistake about it, you guys know a ton more about basketball than I do. So that was my weak link there. But is there another state or market in the big three sports that has the three that would match up to what we've got here in Yelly, Giannis, and Rodgers?
The only one that comes to my mind would be Houston, in the sense of they have the champion in the Astros. Altuve won the MVP a couple of years ago, which was the same year that Harden won it for the Rockets. But when you go to football, they have a superstar. They have an iconic superstar in J.J. Watt. But the difference is, I think, of the position that they play. J.J. Watt is historic in the fact of he's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
He's a Hall of Famer. First ballot.
But he's on the defensive side of the football. He's a defensive lineman. When Aaron Rodgers has the football every single play, he's the most iconic player in the state. I think he's the most iconic player in football outside of Tom Brady. So, like, you're talking about top five-ish players across the league in those... With those names. Yelich is probably a top seven, top five player in all baseball. Giannis a top five player in the NBA. And Rodgers a top five player in the NFL.
Go to Boston. Mookie Betts for the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
Brady. Tom Brady and Kyrie.
Kyrie just hadn't done it this year for me, though.
Does that match up?
But he's top five. If you're saying top five, I would say Kyrie is top five at his position at point guard in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Tom Brady is definitely top five. Yep. And Mookie Betts is definitely top five.
Yep.
That's pretty close.
Not MVPs.
Right.
You know?
A couple of them, though.
What does the Bay Area have with Curry? Is there any?
San Francisco.
Now they have Antonio Brown.
So that's true, the Bay Area. But yeah, but.
For 1 year, yeah.
But you have two teams out there.
What do the 49ers have?
You have Garoppolo? Niners and Raiders.
They got nothing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wow, that's...
So, New Orleans does not have a baseball team, right?
Mm-mm.
But that would be close, would it not? Davis and Breeze?
Yeah, but Davis is done. He didn't do anything this year. So, no. If you think about it, I think it may be Boston, New England. That's it.
That is it?
That's it.
There's got to be someone else that's close.
Well, do you think of Houston?
If you go California, the Clippers and... The Lakers, okay, they got LeBron James, Dodgers. Who do the Dodgers have? I mean, depends on what
Clayton
Democrats
Kershaw.
You want to be out in California.
Yeah, Kershaw.
Kershaw.
Yeah.
right?
Bellinger's been on fire to start the year. But Kershaw, and then football, Melvin Gordon, Phillip Rivers.
Jared Goff, Todd Gurley.
Maybe.
But like that, they're all very good players, but they're not the iconic ones.
No. Right. None of those guys are Rodgers.
Right.
I think the closest one would be J.J. Watt, because he's the only future Hall of Famer outside of, I mean, I guess Brady. I just said that for Boston, but those are three guys out of there that are Hall of Famers.
Do we understand how lucky we are then? I don't know if we do.
No, I think we do.
I don't think so, because these guys, you want to get a sports memorabilia item and get those three guys on something.
Right.
Get those three guys to autograph something together, because that would do it. Yelich, again, short window, though. That's the only caveat I'd throw out there when we're talking about these three guys in the state of Wisconsin. Yelich stepped up and had the breakout last year, for sure. Prior to that, he was good, sure, but he wasn't like that. He wasn't like, you know, Giannis taking over the game.
He wasn't a top five player in the league.
No. And now he is.
And now
he's the MVP. You could call it that. 799-1250. Now, if there's a market that we're forgetting about here.
Philly would be Embiid, Harper, and Carson Wentz.
Mm-mm.
That's Philly.
Yeah, but Wentz, I mean.
Nothing. No, I agree.
I have high hopes for Wentz, but not like that.
Right. I'm just thinking of guys that are like all-stars type deal, but not three Hall of Famers like this. Three MVPs.
What about New York? New York's big market, big teams, big. Is there anything there?
Jets and Giants kill you.
Odell Beckham Jr. Now with the Browns, right?
Yep. Right.
But
gone. There's nobody.
Give it 3 years and Saquon Barkley could be in that conversation, but not right now.
Yeah, it's just
in Chicago. There's nothing in Chicago anywhere.
Well, now the sports nerd is, Tim, now that you brought up a sports item that I want, what would you do it? Would you have them all sign it? A basketball, a football, or a baseball?
All three of them. You have three, and three.
I think I'd want all three of them on like a canvas of pictures of all three of them. That's what I think I'd do.
And do you think then that being said, I don't know if it's pointed out that much around the around the state. I mean, we know they're there, and now just a reminder to mainly myself to appreciate it a little bit more. But nationally, do they recognize that Wisconsin isn't a bunch of farmers? That we're not, you know what I mean? That they're not just they're league fillers. They're league filler teams. The Brewers, the Yankees used to henpeck them as a minor league team. The Bucks have been struggling for, you know, how many years?
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Brewers.
Went through
a big
gap. My whole life.
Right.
And the Packers have been the saving grace here of consistency, always being decent. But do they get the recognition now with Yelich, Giannis, and Rodgers nationally that we should hear?
I don't know that they do.
I don't know if you're ever in a situation where they would get that.
Right.
Why
Unless
not?
You're writing an article about best sports cities, which they do every year. Somebody writes it. Who writes it? Does Sports Illustrated write that?
I think that's who it is.
Every year they always say, or is it Sporting News? I think it's Sporting News.
Do they
every
throw
year
hockey
they
in
do,
there or something?
Yeah, best sports cities in America, and it's based on championships, fan attendance, everything is normally how it goes. But again, in that situation, you won't get all three of them because Aaron Rodgers won't come from Milwaukee. So he'll get vetoed out in Milwaukee. He'll fall down because of
it. But the attendance that we have at the Milwaukee Admirals game should keep us posted up. Winning Wednesday tonight, brought to you by Summerfest. You guys want to come on out, MilwaukeeAdmirals.com.
So what does that mean?
That mean you'll be there?
That means
what
that
is winning Wednesday
I will
mean?
Be there. So if you get a ticket for tonight's game,
you win
you're
date
at
with
the
Baby
game.
Tosh?
Well, you know, that's subjective. But if you Admirals win tonight and you have a ticket to tonight's game, you get a free ticket to next week's Wednesday night game.
Oh, I got you. Because when you said Summerfest, I thought maybe you had Summerfest tickets.
It's brought to you by Summerfest. Yeah.
Okay.
MilwaukeeAdmirals.com. We are hashtag MilHockey right here on the fan.
No, but I think that criteria that they add into that, Stevie, I don't think it's... I'm just talking about must-see TV type guys.
Right. Justin tweets at the fan, brings up L.A. again. Trout, LeBron, and Gurley.
Trout. See, but again, you have two teams to pick from out there.
Several teams. Angels, Dodgers, Chargers,
Clippers.
Rams, Clippers,
you've got six
Lakers,
instead of three.
Six.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You get two
six.
Shots on each sport.
Right.
You get two chances each sport. That's not
so
fair.
So does New York.
And Wisconsin still beats it.
If I would have gotten that on tests, I would have probably gotten a 4.0 in school.
Curry, Antonio Brown,
and Chris Davis?
Really?
Yeah, that's where you're stretching for it there.
Davis is good.
Say you do it 5 years ago, you have Madison Bumgarner, Hunter Pence when they were winning World Series, but right now you don't.
Yeah, it's just an interesting thought, man. I think we're all pretty damn lucky in the state of Wisconsin here. I really do. And if I can, you know, remind myself to, you know, watch Bucks games a little bit more because of it. We always are going to watch, you know, at least me, in terms of what I do with the postgame show, always going to go with Yelich. And then you have Aaron Rodgers, which, you know, it's a once-a-week thing, so you're definitely going to watch there. But more respect given to the state of Wisconsin with those three, that's for sure. 799-1250. Brewers get a victory today. One zip the final. It is their fifth one-run game this year?
Fifth one-run game.
5-0.
Yep. 5-0 in one-run
game. And the other
games.
Win comes in a two-run game.
They're 6-1. They take 3 out of 4 against St. Louis. They sweep the Cincinnati Reds. We need to get to the just a preliminary Cubs conversation as well coming up here before the show is done, too. And then you guys are going to take over the rest of the afternoon. Wendy's Big Show meets the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios after a big Brewers win.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. A company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Postgame meets the Big Show today after a Brewers 1-0 victory to sweep the Cincinnati Reds. They're 3-0 on the road, 3-1 at home. A nice start to the 2019 championship season. Tim and Tausch, Wendy's Big Show meets the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals after that Brewers 1-0 victory. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game. We had some fun last night. Did you hear the audio on Gabe Kapler?
That I did. Okay. Yeah, that was interesting.
Very interesting.
Reese Hoskins, he doesn't like him getting buzzed, I think is the better way to put it.
It is a much better way to put it.
I think that's not what he was going for.
Right. But hey, someone pointed that out to us. So that was the Are You Kidding Me moment last night.
It was weird. It just went right up under our nose.
The other day, the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game was Rob Manfred, who was captured on the, I believe, Pirates broadcast with an echo in his ear, an echo in his headphones, maybe, so they're saying. Could have distracted him a little bit, but a lot of people are saying that he sounds like he had been drinking, the commissioner of baseball.
He's 21 years old.
Allowed to do it.
Yeah,
I'm fine
yeah,
with it.
Yeah. He's.
I don't know if you guys caught that.
I didn't hear it, but what does he just like stumble or does he just like stop talking or?
Of all people, I cannot believe you didn't hear that.
Whoa, okay, because all right, let's take shots at people. All right, yeah, okay,
I got to hear that.
Being okay.
Yeah. No, there you'd go. Find it wildly entertaining. I don't know if he was drinking or he was...
Rob Manfred drunk. Let's look that up.
Or he had the echo in his headphones. And I think we all know at certain times that we've had that happen to us. And it does distract you.
Yep.
And it does change your language a little bit. It changes your delivery. You don't know what to listen to.
Okay, here we go. We got it.
And check this out. This is Rob Manfred. Well, this is the open air audio. There's some audio. There was the actual broadcast feed. That's tough to listen to. You can still sort of get the gist of that one. I've heard them both, but I'm just wondering, Stevie, especially you, what your thoughts are on
listen,
that audio.
I haven't heard it, but I mean, there's a couple different things that it could be without having heard it. Okay. So number one, the double audio thing where it's very hard for you to talk and then hear yourself in your headphones. That's very difficult if you've ever had to go through that. The alcohol thing, yeah, maybe. Could be medicine. Could just be that he's on some medicine that's having a side effect or whatever the case may be, an antibiotic or something like that.
That would be no fun.
Could be. Well, I know that. I'm just giving you ideas of what maybe it could be that would affect speech or thought process where
Certainly.
It would slow you down. Could be medicine. That could be the other thing versus jumping to think that it's alcohol.
Okay, a lot of people thought the same thing some years ago with Ted Thompson, right?
Yeah, it's true.
That being something else was wrong. With
that he was drinking.
Right. Yep. And it wasn't, obviously.
And obviously not. No. So So let's see if we can find the odd. I just wanted to throw that out there once again here.
That's outrageous.
It to me, if I had to guess, if I had to bet.
If you're a bet man.
I don't gamble. But if I were a gambler.
Oh, okay. That's what we needed to talk about.
If I were a gambler, mm-hmm. I'd go with that he had a few beers.
So Tim Allen, guys, is always speaking to the fact of having some fun, and he's the biggest Brewer fan we know, right? This is the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game. Forget the Rob Manfred stuff here. So we're out in Las Vegas for Super Bowl. We meant to get to this on opening day. Tim Allen also makes he makes two bets while we go out to Las Vegas, too. He told us what the first one was. He put $119 on the Milwaukee Brewers win
just
total
for
over.
Synergy, the 2019 championship season, mm-hmm. I went with $119.
And then places another wager of, I believe it was $100.
On?
On the a team to represent the National League in the World Series.
Brewers.
Close. No. Gary, you have a guess of what that
you
team was?
You didn't bet on your own team?
Well...
He didn't bet with the Cubs, did he?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
my God. That ruins all credibility.
Yeah. No. So.
That's not very good.
$119 bet on the Brewers win total over
88.
So that they'll win 88 games.
I would have bet the over.
That'll be a fun.
I think that's a cash. Steal.
Yeah, sure.
I agree.
Man, that's a mm-hmm. steal.
And
what's the thought process
on
the
Cubs? Think, what do you think of the other one? You think that one was a steal, too? Or?
Here's the thought process.
What were
process.
The odds on that?
It was 4-1. That the Cubs represent, they win the NL pennant.
That Wasn't means the Brewers' odds even better than
go,
that?
Go to the World Series.
Yeah, the Brewers,
no.
I believe,
like 10-1, 12-1?
8 or
I think they were
10.
8 to 1, yeah.
Right.
So there was more money to be had when you bet on your team.
That's what
the
I
The Brewers, yeah.
No, but see, here's the mindset on that, is because I hate that team so much that I'm willing to lose money as long as they get bumped out, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine, no problem, I'll lose the cash. If they do happen to win... I'm pissed. I'm upset about it.
I've got a follow-up.
But at least I have some. At least I do gain something on their success.
I've got a question for you. How many times have you bet the Packers to win the Super Bowl in Vegas?
Almost every year for about 15 years. Because if not for me, I give them away as Christmas gifts.
Huh?
I give them away.
That was my answer as well.
Christmas.
Did
gifts.
You hear this, Gary? Mm-hmm. He makes a bet with his own money. And then you wrap it up in a box, and you would give it to Gary as a Christmas present.
Yeah.
I've never heard anybody doing that before.
They're kind of cool gifts.
Yeah, they win.
Well,
otherwise, you just give them a piece of paper.
Otherwise, it's like when you buy somebody scratch-off tickets for Christmas.
My aunt used to do that for me.
Yeah, you win something.
For my birthday, she'd buy me Lotto tickets.
I ain't doing that
I've won
either.
On every scratch-off I got as a gift.
I'm
never
really?
One that I bought.
Wow.
No.
That's awesome,
right?
No. Never a lot.
Honestly, I love
Five
the people
bucks.
That I give gifts to. I certainly do, but I'll be damned if I don't buy them a lottery ticket and have them flash $20,000 in front of my face. I bought the damn thing.
So you would take it back?
You'd be bitter.
No, you're a sick human being.
No.
So you'd be bitter about it?
Sort of internally.
Yeah.
Sort of
internally.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Like I give him a hug. Oh, that's so cool.
And then just
that
reach around and take it away.
That was in my house. I bought that thing. Yeah. So there's your Are You Kidding Me moment. I did place some money on the Cubs.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah that's Tim Allen
We're
for you.
We're going to hear from Craig Counsell. The
Cubs. There it is.
That's it.
We're going to hear from Craig Counsell coming up after a Brewers 1-0 win over the Cincinnati Reds.
Do have Rob Manfred if we want to go
with
that.
Let's check this out. I'm really interested. You haven't heard this, Stevie?
No.
Okay. Part of it.
Check
it
out.
You hate to have a team pick up a player for a month and have that decide who wins the World Series. Yeah. So there's a benefit there as well, I think. Well, the Atlantic League is a very high quality of play league, and they're very innovative, open-minded, and it was the perfect place for us to experiment with some ideas that we needed to collect information on.
All right, can you give me
another
interview real quick so I can
compare it? A regular Rob Manfred?
So I can compare it.
Rob Manfred, sober.
I feel like this is what we did to Ted.
Okay. Steve, no, that's fair.
That?
Yeah.
That's fair to have a sample.
We knew when Ted was losing it. It wasn't right or something was wrong.
Yep.
We compared Ted's very first interview to this last interview. We wouldn't even
Qualily is what the man just said.
Sometimes qualily.
Qualily.
I've been there, man. I might be there tonight.
Yeah,
in fact, I know I will.
Oh, really?
Qualily.
Yeah. Are we saying qualily a few times?
Oh, absolutely.
That's outstanding. Qualily.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I definitely will. But no, but that's fair to compare it.
Yeah, see what we're listening to. We want to make sure that we're doing this all on the up and up.
I can't. The first reactions to it, though, mm-hmm. that dude was hammered. I'll say. First reaction.
It got better as you played it. It actually, he stumbled a little bit
he
more.
He sounds better, yes. Okay, so here we go.
Number of years, we decided to take our greatest rivalry. We did a tremendous job in terms of pre-sale of tickets, and we think it's going to generate tremendous buzz. I have to say, Japan was a close second. I do think that the way the Ichiro story unfolded.
Similar?
Very similar.
Similar? Now go back. Can you go back to...
Very similar. He's a slow talker.
I would be reluctant to eliminate the National League form of baseball.
Listen,
it's the only place it's played anymore.
Listen to that.
I can't say never... But I'm not and that's why I can't say never. But I think more gets made out of the momentum for change than there is in reality.
Okay, hold on.
He's fully cooked, man.
Now you heard both, but could it be the headphones with the echo?
No. Could be medicine though. I'll stay with medicine.
You're going to stick with medicine? Yeah.
Okay. Can
it
I
could
get
be
to,
some type of
can,
medicine.
Can that be herbal medicine? Or
no,
are we talking
it be,
like
No, it could be medicine where you're not supposed to have a drink with it or something like that or something along those lines. Who knows?
Yes.
Could be. Gary. I just don't believe consciously his people let him go up there if they think he's hammered. Like, there's no way that's happening.
It's opening day.
Yeah, you've got your people with you. He's not just... I can't imagine he's walking around by himself without any PR people.
Oh, man, that's
what I mean, at that point, if you're a PR person, if you think the commissioner is hammered, you can't let him go up and do an interview with anybody. You got to be like, no, he's not feeling well. He's got to go home.
But here's the deal.
No way.
You got to be in good standing with the commissioner to say that. Be like, hey, commissioner, you really can't go up there right now.
I'm going to tell you right now, baby Tosh, if I'm the commissioner and if I was hammered, and we have no idea, but if I was hammered and said person allowed me to do that interview, he's fired.
Same. Yes, you're gone.
He's
gone.
You're
no longer working.
He's gone. He's gone. Whoever it was in charge of me, you're fired. Guaranteed. Gone. As soon as I hear it the first time. Dude, you couldn't tell I was hammered? No? Okay. Well, maybe you'll tell your next boss.
I don't
tell your next boss is hammered. Get out of here.
Hammered's a strong word. Maybe he just had a few beers and
a little
got
bit
a buzz.
Yeah, a little buzz.
Sure, whatever it was.
Either way.
I'm going to stick with medicine because I don't believe anybody would have allowed a commissioner drinking to go up and do an interview.
Just as the evil side of me, I hope and pray that he was drinking that day.
Gary?
Because I like him even more.
Your verdict on Rob Manfred?
Yeah, I'm with Timmy.
You're hoping that it was that he's drunk.
I'm hoping that it was a few beers. Yep. Final thing here. Are you kidding me? Moment brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a plumbing company you can trust. Check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. There was an announcer before we get on the air here today that was he concerned about the Game of Thrones night at Miller Park?
Oh, yeah, Joe.
Joe Zanzola.
Mm-hmm.
Name names. I didn't. He said that Game of Thrones is like porn.
Yeah, that's what he said, Tim.
There is quite a bit of nudity from what I've understood in it.
Are you kidding
me? I don't know
me?
If I would call it porn, though.
Do you guys, does he realize what imagery you can get off this thing?
That's your phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the iPhone is a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm. So...
Especially with a strong data plan.
This is porn.
I mean, yeah, for sometimes.
Not Game of Thrones. Right? I guess to each their own.
I don't really like the show. I don't know if I'd call it that, but like,
I don't think I'd call it like porn.
No, yeah, but there's definite strong nudity.
Yes.
There's definitely nudity. But like, There's also a difference between somebody an individual posing in a nude magazine and somebody being a porn star. There's a difference there. There's a fine line there.
Brewers are just having some fun with this, right? It has nothing to do with skin. It's just got everything to do with the popularity of the program, right?
And like the show isn't based on sex. It's like an auxiliary part of the show, I believe. Right. I've never watched it though, so I can't.
Because if it's a family friendly atmosphere, then Game of Thrones.
That show is not family friendly.
No.
Okay.
That show is
It's an HBO primetime.
Yeah, there's no way I'd let my kids watch that show. That is not a family friendly show.
But for the Brewers to be involved with it in a Game of Thrones night, that's okay?
Yeah, because it's a large part of your demo that probably watches it based on the ratings that it has.
Yeah.
Right. But all I'm saying is when you say Brewers are family friendly, I'm just saying that doesn't go hand in hand with the actual show. Because that's not family friendly.
It's the Milwaukee Brewers, meaning beer. Is that family friendly?
No.
What are you trying to get at, Timmy?
I'm just saying that, you know, for somebody to rip on a theme night, I think is a little out of line.
Are you trying to go out to Joe Zinzola on the slide?
No, an announcer that said this. The announcer that was on before this show.
The announcer that was on before?
Yeah, I didn't name names. I didn't name the names.
Is that what he's doing, Stevie?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what he's doing.
He's poking at Joe.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Why are you poking at Joe?
Because it is fun. I'm stepping up for the Brewers theme night. I'm protecting my boys down there at Miller Park.
Hey, in other words, you're protecting the shield. How you like that?
The shield?
Yeah. The NFL.
The shield. Yeah. Shield? I'm back in the shield.
Yeah, you're back in the shield.
I'm loving
Gary,
the crew.
Gary was crew. Very proud of himself with that. He even gave you the little wink, too, the little wink and the nod. Like, you're protecting the shield there, cuz.
Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey as we meet the Wendy's Big Show today. Gary Sparky, Baby Tosh, Tim Allen. A Brewers 1-0 victory. Council's got to be pleased with the series sweep over Cincinnati. We'll hear from the manager next here on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
1-0, they win another one-run game, and they're 6-1 now, the crew, in the 2019 championship season. Wendy's Big Show meets the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey, and the Brewers won 5 consecutive games with this victory today. Anyone thinking about burgers?
No.
I didn't get any last time, so I'm still a little miffed.
Wendy's. I can go for some Wendy's.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they win tomorrow night.
That's right. That's right.
Big news, Freddie Peralta, the youngster, threw 8 shutout innings, did not walk a man, only allowed 2 hits, and struck out 11 in the performance. Got to be a happy manager, Craig Counsell.
His fastball was outstanding. We've talked before the game, he just pounded the zone with strikes. It was in the right part of the strike zone. It was just up. You know, he just consistently threw it up in the strike zone, and he didn't have a ground ball put on the ground. It turns into strikeouts and, you know, for the most part, some harmless fly balls.
And the Puig at-bat was like such a battle for him.
Yeah, well, I mean, Puig gave him a great at-bat. And it's, you know, it's when you got to dig deep. And, you know, we were kind of debating between 2 pitches. And the fact is that he executed the pitch. It was he actually threw a curveball in the dirt. And it was a great pitch. So it was the execution, which he did all day, and it was a gutsy call by Manny for sure.
Man, that's what I was going to ask you: is who wanted the curveball, Manny?
Yeah, yeah.
Then the one run that you scored, the balk, he balks, with not the greatest balk in the world.
Yeah, I mean it's the little things. You know, it's a little thing, and it's a. You know, fairly innocent, but in a game like this, it becomes a big thing.
You said you knew Castillo has been tough before.
Yeah.
He was just as good today.
Yeah, he was really, really good. He gave our left-handed hitters a lot of trouble. He's looks like he's on track to have a pretty nice season because he's going to be successful with that stuff.
Is his changeup as good as anybody you've seen?
Yeah, it is, and it's the changeup with big velocity, and it's the same movement on the changeup. That's what you could see our left-handers struggled with. It's the same, the same running movement that the fastball has, and when you're sitting at 95, 96, and have a changeup that's moving that much, it's a tough combination for guys to handle.
What did you like about Alex Wilson for the night?
Well, first it's a tough inning. He's got three lefties coming up to start the inning, and then Kemp and Suarez. So it's it's kind of the heart of their lineup. And he just the walk to Barnhart, he was a little bit out of sync, but then he made great pitches the rest of the time. I thought he really just the bat to Kemp. I thought he made some tremendous pitches, kept making pitches, and Kemp ends up getting the ball through the hole. But just he made a lot of really good pitches. Made a lot of really good pitches to Winker. Getting Votto out is was the big out probably. But he made pitches. He stuck to it. The situation didn't look too big for him, and he kept making pitches.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Yeah, you talk about who got lit up. Maybe that should have been Rob Manfred as part of our last segment.
Would have made more sense.
I wish we
would.
Yeah.
But we don't know. That's true.
Yeah, we don't know.
No, I do.
We don't.
He was lit.
Nah, I don't know.
Don't get sued.
I'm with Stevie on this.
Don't get sued.
I wish.
Don't get sued.
I wish I did know, but I don't really know. Who got lit up? The Cincinnati Reds. Did they really get lit up? Well, when you lose three in a row, you get swept in the series. I guess overall, generally speaking, you could say they got lit up, but there were some tight ball games here in this series. Cincinnati is going to win some baseball games. You just hope you don't face them when that offense starts cooking. They will
get
going.
Well, and when your boy Scooter Jeanette comes back, too.
Yeah, I mean, they're without Scooter right now, but you look up and down that lineup, Suarez is one hell of a player, man. He's one of the better players in the National League, and just getting better, and a younger dude, too. But who got lit up? Brought to you by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com. The Brewers win 3 one-run games to take that series. Manny Pena had the big blow today. And was it a big blow? Yeah, you win one zip. It was an RBI base hit. Interesting on that play, if you missed it, today in the second inning, it was Zeus who earned a walk in that inning and was moved over. A similar balk call that Eric Thames got nailed on in the Cardinals series. And if you guys recall that he wasn't really at the bag to take the throw. And by rule, then it's even though he took the throw, he wasn't near the bag. He
didn't make a movement towards the bag, which constitutes as a balk.
And Votto knew he screwed that up, and the balk ended up hurting the Cincinnati Reds because Manny Pena comes up with the game-winning RBI base hit. That's the only run that was scored. Freddy Peralta, 8 shutout innings, 11 strikeouts, in a performance that he allowed not one walk, and that, I think, is a key stat. Not only just the Brewers' victory, which supersedes everything, it's the 11 strikeouts and it's the zero in the BB column, the base on balls column, that is pretty impressive for the young right-hander for the Brewers. Fastball Freddie and the Brewers get it done. 5 straight victories. They're 6-1. We'll be back in the Fan.
Time for the current electric spark of the game. Who got this one going? You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
One zip, final couple of minutes, don't go anywhere. Final couple of minutes of the postgame show, and then the Wendy's Big Show boys take things over until 6 o'clock. But the Brewers get their one zip victory and enjoy. Boy, what a happy flight from Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. They're going to have a lot of fun and an off day tomorrow.
Facing the off day tomorrow. They got tonight to do whatever they're going to do.
Hopefully watch the Cubs give up like 4 or 5 more errors.
Yeah, that's true. The Cubs, they play a game against Atlanta at about 6 tonight. Mm-hmm. Spark of the game brought to you by Current Electric. And it was,
or maybe they're going to come to the Admirals game.
They could.
That's where they should be going.
That'd be a spark, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Manny Pena, I think, was the spark of this game, at least offensively. Each team with just two hits. I stand corrected on that. The Reds had three, did they not? Yeah, had a base hit in that ninth inning. So three hits to two, but just the two hits. Manny Pena made it count, and he had this to say after the game.
Manny, the story today in the 1-0 shutout was Freddie Peralta, a career high 8 innings, 11 strikeouts for him. But I want to ask you about that last at bat against Yasiel Puig. Threw him nothing but fastballs, but you came out to the mound and you finished with a curveball. What was the approach to finish the day there for Freddie?
Yeah, I mean, he was very good. He doing a very good job. I know it when he throwing the bullpen before the game. I already know it, like, he going to be a very good game. And he that's what he command. When he command the fastball, he can use the curveball. I mean, and he can control the both side of the play, up and away, in and away. And that's he needed, man. When I go talk to him, when the Puig was hitting, I just give you a good feeling for him. I just want him finish strong.
Manny, how fun is it to be behind the plate for a guy like Freddie Peralta when he's commanding the ball like he was today, and especially having the success with the fastball, like you said?
It's good. It's good. I mean, when they're having a good success, I mean, you're feeling great behind the plate because everything he throw is where you want. Where you put the glove is where I want. And that's his key. That's the key. When he throw the fastball up and they swing and meet, that's when he got big success.
And what about Alex Wilson stepping up with Josh Hader down, runners at the corners to preserve the shutout?
Very good. He's doing a great job. Hader was down, and he completed the game. He closed the game with the quarter. He did a fantastic job.
Finally, Manny, first series sweep of the season. How nice is it to finish off this series? Head home, get ready for the Cubs.
Very good, very good. Now we go home, happy fly, and we now go face the Cubs, and we hope we win the series.
Yeah, there he is. Manny Pena had the RBI base hit in the second inning for a Brewers 1-0 victory, in large part off the arm of Freddie Peralta. 8 shutout innings, just a couple of hits, no walks, and 11 strikeouts for the young right-hander. All right, let's talk some more baseball. Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Mark, what's happening? Thanks for the time.
Hi, I liked how he talked about the curveball because Freddie's primarily an 80-85% fastball pitcher. 11 of 15 curves for strikes today. Very impressive there using that to give the hitters a little bit of a different look.
Mark, yeah. When you talk about that, is that something he can survive with for a whole season, throwing that many fastballs start in and start out in the big leagues?
It's funny. We were just talking about him in our research area, and he's very inconsistent, it seems like, at this point in his career. I don't know many starters that have two pitches. In fact, I can't think of any off the top of my head that are just basically going two pitches and out. He's commanding the fastball, as I said, very well. But I would think that he's going to be consistent. I would think he's going to need a third pitch just to keep the hitters guessing a little bit.
Mark, out of the three young pitchers, we talked about Freddie Peralta, you know, Brandon Woodruff and Corbin Burns as well for the Brewers. We'll get some defensive metrics here coming up in a second. But when you look at those three young pitchers from what the numbers say, who are you most excited to see get a full run here in 2019?
The Burns thing was interesting because he had how many guys get 12 strikeouts in 5 innings in a start? That's Randy Johnson, Chris Sale kind of numbers. So I guess he would be the most interesting, especially because when they hit the ball against him, they drilled it. He gives the 3 home runs. Woodruff's also certainly been very good. I like the idea, though, of having a guy that can strike out 12 in 5 innings because I know that if I can just fix things a little bit, that he's going to be pretty effective.
Hey, what about spin rate? They were making a big deal about this on the Brewers broadcast that since TrackMan has been recording spin rate, this is the highest spin rate a pitcher has thrown, that being Burns. What do you make of that from a stats perspective and your perspective?
That seems to be the new thing, that if a guy has a high number for his pitch type, and there are different numbers that are appropriate to different pitch types, it's something that is indicative of success. Guys with big spinning curveballs throw curveballs that just drop off the table and kind of shock you. And with the fastball, Max Scherzer is the guy who throws a fastball with a lot of spin. So if it works for you, if it's something that works for you, and in this case probably works for him, the high spin rate is going to be a good thing.
Josh Hader is, for all intents and purposes, the closer of this team right now. And I think Craig Counsell alluded to that last night, that it's not because he's a closer, it's because circumstances have dictated that for now. When you guys look at some of the numbers for Josh Hader, where can you find an area in which he can improve?
Oh, boy. The numbers last year were off the charts.
I mean, is it rev? Is it rev rate? Yeah, is it rev rate? Is it pitch efficiency? I mean, he's throwing a minimal amount of strikes. The immaculate inning the other day, because we're trying. Right. We're seeing the front row view of Josh Hader, and I don't know if he can do any better.
Team that's 6-1.
Yeah, I don't know if he can do any better than that, Mark.
No, I don't think he can do any better, but I think he showed last year that he can maintain that for 162 games for the most part. I would tell him, don't change a thing. Why mess with that? Whereas I think Knebel may have had a flaw or two. Josh Hader, when he's on the fastball, you can't touch it. And he embarrasses. I was thinking, so I was going to make a list of the all embarrassment team for pitchers. Like Edwin Diaz would probably be 1-2 somewhere in there. Hader's got to be right there with them. It's very impressive.
Talking with Mark Simon of Sports Info. So, Kane, last time you were on with us, and what does he do the next day? Goes out and makes one of the biggest plays of the young season already when he robs the game-winning or game-tying home run by Martinez on opening day. And in your article that is also up at The Athletic talking about the top defensive players in baseball, barring position, Lorenzo Cain slots right in there at number 7, but still does not have a gold glove.
He does have a Fielding Bible Award, though. In fact, he's got 2 of them. Our company does a survey. We survey a dozen different people. No one who's actually inside the game, but the people that are kind of the statistical experts and that watch an entire season. Bill James has a vote. Rob Nyer has a vote. Joe Posnanski has a vote. I have a vote. Doug Landale used to have a vote. Chris Singleton of ESPN has a vote. And we've voted him as the top center fielder last year. There's no reason not to. As I said on the show last week was he is the best center fielder at going back to catch the ball. And he saw it the next day.
No doubt about it.
He's very impressive.
Yeah, you're right about that. Talk with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions here on the Wendy's Big Show. We do it every Wednesday at 3:48, and we're hoping to get educated on some of these advanced stats and numbers that we don't understand on this show. So what's the key defensive stat, Mark, that you rely on most? Obviously, there's a bunch of them, but which one do you rely on most, and then explain what it all entails?
Sure. So we have our company has a stat called defensive run saves, and what that is position appropriate. Like for a shortstop or second baseman, you're looking at how often they get outs and how often they turn double plays. For a first and third baseman, it would be bunts. For an outfielder, it would be throwing arm. But the most important component of that is range, right? Range and positioning. And the easiest way to explain that to people that don't get it is imagine if the field had a point value for every spot on the field. Let's say Lorenzo Cain's playing where he would usually play. So the point values for Lorenzo Cain on balls in the gap or balls by the fence, on a scale of 100, those are 90, 95-point catches if he can make them. If he doesn't make them, nobody's making them, so he doesn't lose anything. Lorenzo Cain makes those catches, so he accumulates a high point value. And as a result, at the end of the season, you look at Cain's point value and your NCOT's point value and Byron Buxton's point value and Kiermaier's and all those guys, and you can make an assessment, okay, this guy is the best guy at going back on a ball, coming in on a ball, going to into the gap to make a play, going into the shortstop third base hole to steal the ground ball. That's the easiest way that I could explain it. There's a lot of components, certainly, that go into it, how hard the balls hit and things of that sort. But just imagine the field as a grid, like a checkerboard almost, mm-hmm. and that Lorenzo Cain is making a lot of those 90-point right. catches. And he's not, more importantly, he's not missing the 5 and 10 point catches where if he missed them, everybody's catching those. He's making those catches too. He's making every catch.
If you get a chance, go check out The Athletic today. A great piece by Mark on the top defensive players at different positions around baseball. See Travis Shaw's name on that list and a bunch of other
brothers. Mark, can I put in a request for you guys at Sports Info Solutions?
go ahead.
Can you hold off on Mike Moustakas' grading scale just for a couple months until he gets used to it?
We talked about this last week a little bit. He's going to be all right. I understand that it hasn't necessarily gone super smoothly so far, but give it a little time.
All right, very good. Mark, thanks for the time, man, and you will chat with the guys on the big show periodically throughout the year, right? Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday, yep. Right there.
All right, very good. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Yep.
All right, Mark Simon, sportsinfosolutions.com. On the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935, Timmy.
All right, I got to go. I'm going to go be Rob Manfred tonight. And come on.
That's not.
Watch some Game of Thrones or something, or what?
What do you guys have coming? What do you guys have coming up?
We're going to talk about the Rob Domofsky tell-all piece about Mike McCarthy. He got the first sit-down interview with Mac since he was fired. And I don't know about bad blood is the right word, but there's some ill feelings, and we're going to get into all of them.
I did read some of that, and I love the line that McCarthy said about, you know, once I got past anger, it was more reflection. Once I focused on reflection of what occurred, made him feel a little bit better.
I think there was some relief in there as well, especially from his family members.
All right, guys, thanks for the fun. Wendy's Big Show meets the Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey right here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios. I got to go. Brewers and Cubs. Next time the Brewers are in action, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show at 6 on Friday night. Brewers off tomorrow. And, of course, we'll talk Brewers baseball. Cubs into town. Going to be crazy, crazy at Miller Park. For Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Baby Tosh, Bill Schmidt, Gary Ellerson. You guys have a great night and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back. Stick around.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.